Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
All right, is that any better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for us for the record?
Kimberly Jade Walls, LAWS. My number's 316-706.
Okay, Ms. Laws, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm a little nervous right now.
Well, you appeared before the board for a phase two hearing on a special 603 that we have here. It appears that in reading some of the documentation that the judge put in for the 603 order, and it's been a delay in it actually coming before the board. Is that right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear all of that, but yes, I'm scheduled for a phase two hearing. My judge gave me a special order for excessive sentencing.
Okay. So you actually are asking for a 6-year reduction in your sentence on a 10-year sentence for shoplifting, is that right?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, you actually have three things that you were actually sentenced to. You had a 10-year sentence for shoplifting, a 6-month sentence that was running consecutively for drug paraphernalia, then you had on top of that a 3-year sentence for probation for possession of marijuana, is that right?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, and you took a plea agreement?
I did.
Okay.
They tried to aggravate it to 15 years.
Okay, so you have an absolute discharge date of January 26th of 2025. If you were granted the 6 years, you will then go to the 6-month sentence that you have remaining for the drug paraphernalia. Is that your understanding?
I'm sorry, if I was granted the 6 years?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I didn't catch anything after that.
Then you will go to your next consecutive sentence, which would be a 6-month sentence that you have for drug paraphernalia.
Yes, sir. I'd have to do the 6 months still.
Okay, then you also have following that, then you have to go to the 3-year probation for possession.
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to the information that we have in your commutation application, says that basically you were shopping at Walmart when you were checking out at the self-check-in line. Your card didn't work, so you had to go to the customer service to be checked out again. During that time, one of your 6 bags didn't get wound up. The asset protection guy thought you were stealing a bag of ice. When he went over your receipt, it showed the bag of ice and other items, but did not show a bag that had 2 rolls of duct tape.
That's correct.
At that point, he said he was calling the police and you were arrested for a shoplifting.
I was not arrested. At that time, when he told me that the 2 rolls of duct tape were not on my receipt,
uh-huh.
I offered to pay for them and explained to him how it happened, like, that I went through 2 checkouts, and he told me it was too late for that, so I handed them back to him, and then he told me he was going to call the cops if I left, and my ride was waiting on me, so I left, and in the parking lot, the cops gave me a ticket. They cited me and released me. I went to court later on, and the charges had been dropped. And then when I got, it was like 6 months later, from April to June, July 1st, when I was in a wreck, when I got charged with the possession of marijuana, they brought back the other 2 charges. But they had been dismissed, I guess, I don't know, with prejudice or without prejudice, but they brought them back later.
So can you explain to me, I'm trying to understand the items. How did you get the 2 the duct tape? I'm trying to understand. Were you at the checkout line and you took all your items to the clerk or to the counter, or what happened? Can you kind of explain that? I'm not real clear on what happened.
Yes, sir. Well, I went through self-checkout and rang everything up so it was in bags. And when I went to pay for it, my card didn't work. So there's like a lady that stands there in the middle, and she told me to take it to customer service. So I just took all the bags to customer service, and it's a small area, and it was kind of packed that night. So I was handing her bags, and she was handing them back to me. at customer service. So somehow one bag got missed, and I didn't realize it. She didn't realize it, and I paid for everything that I thought I had paid for everything that I had.
So was the duct tape just in a bag by itself, or what?
Yes, sir.
So did you take all of these bags? Why did the security at the store think that you didn't pay for some ice? Because that's...
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Why did the security in the store think that you didn't pay for the two bags of ice?
No, well, it was only one bag of ice. Because I was in... Okay, the McDonald's is inside the Walmart in Cottonwood, and I was in McDonald's waiting for my ride. So I didn't get the ice right away because it was April. I didn't want it to melt before I could get it home. So I waited until my ride told me that they were back in the parking lot before I got the ice and headed outside. And I guess because I didn't get the ice right away, he thought I was just stealing it.
Okay, so when he checked, he found the ice that was on there, but...
Yeah, the ice was on the receipt.
How long were you in the store before you actually went to go get the ice?
Excuse me?
How long were you in the store before you actually went to go get the ice?
Maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe?
Mm-hmm. So I have this special order to the Board of Executive Clemency from the judge, and the judge says that basically you were on probation at the time that this incident occurred?
Yes, sir. That's why they tried to aggravate it to 15. I was on probation in Maricopa.
Okay, so because you were on probation, then the judge had to give you presumptive, which was a 10-year sentence?
Yes.
And he felt that was excessive because of the dollar amount of the duct tape was valued at $6.74.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The value of the duct tape said it was $6.74.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you a question. Why did you ask for a 6-year reduction in your sentence?
Honestly, because I didn't know what to ask for. This is my first time being to prison. I only had 90 days when I first got here. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't want to seem like that I didn't belong here. Because, well, I don't belong here for 10 years for shoplifting. That's my belief. For one, because I didn't steal. And I have priors, but I did my time on those. And I was trying to turn my life around. Like, I had just started a great job. I was just getting out of an abusive relationship. And I just got an RV, so I had somewhere safe to live. I was trying to get my stuff together so that I could get my kids back. And it's kind of lost it all. And so I've been in limbo, I guess you could say, for some time. I don't know. I didn't want to seem greedy, but I'm willing to do whatever y'all, the board or whoever is in charge of that, gives me, because I believe it's fair. I'm not trying to act like I don't belong here or that I'm better than anybody, or I don't know, I'm shaking for that reason. I'm so nervous. This is my life, and it's really important to me that I don't get abused, I guess, through the system. I mean, I did my time on my other charges. I've done jail time. But I really was trying to get my life together, and I really didn't do it. And I will never do it again. I'm sober. I have used drugs. I'm not an addict. I wasn't necessarily abusing them. I guess you abuse anything when you do something illegal like that, though. I was trying to do good, and I had just started turning my life around. My goal is to go back to North Carolina to be with my children, so that I can try to be a part of their life again. I haven't spoken to them since before I got arrested, And that's been very hard on me because I'm a single mom. I have been their whole life until a year and a half before I got arrested. So it's been almost 4 years now.
So is the duct tape and bags by itself or what?
Yes, sir, it was.
And you had a total of how many bags?
How many bags?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe 5 or 6. Maybe 7. I'm not sure, sir. It's been 2 years.
So let me ask you another question. The duct tape was in the bag. So when you went to the counter and your car didn't work and they sent you over to the customer service, did they recheck your items again, or did you just take the bags over there and receipt? What happened?
No, I took the bags and I would hand them to the checkout lady. She would ring them up, put them back in the bag, and hand it back to me. So there was a couple bags on the counter, and then I would put them back in the buggy.
So she rang the items up again?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm just going to read part of what's on the judge put in there. It says, the court is of the opinion that the presumptive term of 10 years in prison for shoplifting charges required by statute is excessive given the dollar value of the items that were attempted to be taken. At trial, evidence was presented that these two rolls of duct tape had a value of $674, excluding sales tax. The judge also states that the sentence comes at a too high price for citizens of Arizona to bear. And basically, he also put in here that it would cost the state an estimated $207,000 for 100 and $207,000. Is this thousand?
Mm-hmm.
$207,480 to house it for that period of time. And he said the normal goals of deterrence or retribution behind the prison could be viewed as having too high a price tag in this case. Miss, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you at this time. Miss Rick?
You're going to see what? I'm sorry.
I want to see if the board has any additional questions for you.
Okay.
Just a comment, Mr. Johnson. I'm just looking at Ms. Wall's criminal history, and I see why, you know, the judge, I think the sentence may be excessive, but I see why the judge did that, because there or may have done that, because there is a shoplifting for which she served time on January 25th, 2014, February 11th, 2014, February 25th, 2014, April 18th, 2014, December 14th, 2014, and there's a theft on January 12th, 2015. So, I mean, it seems to be a pattern, and I could see that the judge may, or whoever at the trial, they may have said, well, gosh, this behavior is continuing. So, that looks like something that could justify, but I don't think that it justifies 10 years. There's a pattern. It appears to be a pattern.
Mr. Neal.
Thank you, sir. Well, it's on the same line that Ms. Goodnow was talking about. If we include the artifice charges, which is booster pills, the sack, whatever that you put in to facilitate a shoplift, and organized retail theft, which is where there's only, you know, more than one person. There are a total of 21 arrests listed in the criminal history for those charges. I didn't count the drug charges. Now, granted, not all those were filed. Some, I'm not sure whether they were dismissed, but granted, she didn't have sentences for when she was arrested on everything, and the sentences that she had prior were, you know, probations and time served in county jail and misdemeanors and things like that. But with my experience in the law enforcement field, if she had 21 arrests for those charges, I have to wonder how many times she committed those violations and didn't get caught. I have to say that her whole story, after one of the many shoplifting cases, I was in and around the idea of having a couple of loose items in a bag like that when you go to a customer service to check out, you know, everything is actually a lovely pattern of organized retail theft. And the mitigated minimum for this, and it she was on probation and she had two confirmed prior convictions for similar crimes. The mitigated minimum is 6 years. The normal minimum is 8 years. And when you get in here, the presumptive is 10, max 12, and aggravated max 15. Looking at that range in her history, I guess you have to say, I don't think she learned a lesson in her prior appearance before the court and adjudication on all the other charges, because she was still doing it. So, in my opinion, I don't think the 10 years is excessive, and I don't think that she's a good candidate to move forward. So, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, Ms. Laws, how signed did you do? How many times have you been, because I see that you were on probation, and then you also had a probation violation and you went to prison. Is that right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I understand that you actually, I'm trying to determine how many times that you've been to prison. Have you been in prison prior for shoplifting?
No, I've never been to prison, sir.
Okay, so.
This is my first time.
So I see that you had a probation violation. You were
yes,
on 2 years probation, and then you were violated on that probation violation. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I was violated after I got arrested. There's a jet flying over us. Hold on a second.
And what happened on that? After the jet goes by.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And what happened on that when you had the probation violation?
What about my probation violation?
When the probation was violated, what happened? Did you get sentenced? What did you get sentenced to?
After I was sent to prison, because they wouldn't let me go from county, I went and they gave me a year to run concurrent with the time I was doing.
So, that you have a year's time that's running concurrent with what you currently have, which is the 10-year sentence. You have a 1-year sentence running concurrently. So I'm
it's over. It's already been done.
Right, that one's expired. And that was on the probation violation. And what were you on probation for?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
So the possession of marijuana and the possession of drug paraphernalia, that you have a 6-month and 2-year probation. Can you tell me about those?
Yes, sir. The marijuana, I was in a car accident. It was not my car. I was not driving. It was a lady that I was letting stay with me and her daughter. She had taken me to get my stuff from my ex's house. And we were on our way back down a dirt road, and it lost control, went off into the desert by itself, no damage except to her car. And we walked back to my house, my RV, and when the cops showed up, she said that she was driving. She told them what happened, and then when they went to the car, they found her daughter's marijuana, her 16-year-old daughter's marijuana in the car. And she's like, no, it wasn't me. I can't go to jail. It was Jade. It was her marijuana. And she got a ticket for lying to police officers, and I was already in jail.
Okay, you kind of lost me on that one. Why were you already in jail? Why were you already in jail?
Because they had arrested me for the probation violation and then brought back these two charges that I have besides the marijuana.
So I'm trying to understand, how did you get the charge of possession of marijuana?
Because she lied. Because the lady that owned the car, the lady that was driving the car when it wrecked, told them it was mine, and the prosecutor didn't care that she had already lied to the cops when she changed her story.
And so, where were you at when she changed her story?
I was already in the county jail. I found out about it through my public defender.
So you found out through the public defender that you signed a plea agreement for possession of the marijuana.
Well, I went to trial on the shoplifting because I didn't do it, and I lost. Because the prosecutor brought up all my past, like those people said, and the jury convicted me. And after that is when I signed the plea for the other two charges.
And where did the drug paraphernalia come from? How did you get it?
Previous, me and the guy that I was dating, my abusive boyfriend, were riding and we got pulled over and neither one of us had a license and I had it on me.
Ms. Lowe, I recognize the fact that what the judge did for you, attempted to do for you. What have you done since you've been incarcerated that would justify this board sending a recommendation to the governor on your behalf? What have you actually done?
I'm doing Rio Salado long-distance learning for small business startup. I am on my fall classes right now. I go to church. I'm deep into a Bible study. I have a pen pal that is from YCSO Yavapai County, the jail. She would come there and do church, and she writes me constantly. We keep in touch. She sent me a Bible. She sent me a dictionary, you know, so that I could expand my vocabulary as far as my college classes go. And I'm in AA. I've had no disciplinary in over 2 years. Like, the whole time I've been here, I've had no disciplinary. I stay out of trouble. I do what I'm supposed to do. I write my kids religiously, even though they don't write me back.
Where are your kids? Are they in North Carolina or are they in Arizona?
No, they're in North Carolina.
And may I ask, what were you doing in Arizona?
I came out here to be with my mom. And she just kind of dumped us off. I didn't have a job, and so, like, things went down pretty quick. And she found a way through the apartment we were staying at to where I couldn't be there. Me and my mom have never had a really close relationship, but we've made it work because I have her only grandchildren. And so when we moved out here, because my grandmother had passed away, that's who I was living with in North Carolina, I moved out here to be closer to her so that she could see the kids and we could just be, you know, hopefully together. And that didn't work out. And so I became homeless, and my kids got to live with her in the apartment because there could only be three people. And that's when things just started to fall apart.
Now, who's responsible for your kids now back in North Carolina?
My ex and his wife.
And it's your goal at some point to return back to North Carolina. Did I hear that correct, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Who do you have in North Carolina? Do you still have family in North Carolina?
Yes, sir. My whole family is there. I have three aunts and 13 first cousins, and I don't even know how many second cousins.
Let me just ask, I know the Honorable Mr. Neal has already asked this, and I think you responded to it, but why didn't you learn the lesson from the beginning? I mean, why, you know, why do you have this criminal history that you have?
It's a very short history, sir.
Yeah, it's short, but...
I was homeless, and I had no money, and I couldn't get a job. Most of the time it was food, I was hungry, or a couple of times my mom had left town and I was trying to get, I remember one particular time I was trying to get a roll of hamburger and a box of macaroni and cheese so I could feed my kids, and I went to jail that night.
So at that time your kids were in Arizona, and then after you were incarcerated, that's when they went to North Carolina.
When I got put on probation, I sent them back to North Carolina to live with my son's dad, and because I thought I was gonna do a lot of time then, and my mom told me that she couldn't take care of them if I went to jail or to prison. So I thought I was doing what was best for them by sending them back so that I could get this taken care of, and it just didn't work out that way.
What were you going to do with that tape?
That's what I want to know.
I wasn't... Oh, when I bought it?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to have it because I owned an RV, and it was like the new duct tape that had like patterns and different colors. So I was fixing things in my RV. Because it was kind of run down.
So you was going...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. This is your
year. I put a lot of work into that RV. I had to buy, like, pipe, all new pipes because they had set for, like, 8 years in somebody's yard. So I was fixing it up. I had to do all new pipes for the water. A lot of the counters and stuff were starting to rot, so I was replacing a lot of things. And that was the cheapest way for me was duct tape, honestly. I couldn't afford new cabinets or plastic.
Okay. I think that's all I'm going to ask right now. Thank you so very much, Ms. Long.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson.
Ms. Long?
Yes, ma'am. Over a very short period of time, you had a very large amount of left drug paraphernalia. As you said, you apparently had some kind of a problem. If you were homeless and jobless, how did you get the money to buy drugs?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, sir. They were given to me.
What?
The people I was hanging around with.
Every time you got arrested, somebody gave you it, right?
Well, no. It was usually in a group setting, and I was the one, the idiot who carried. So I was the one that got caught.
Okay. Also, one place in Ames, it doesn't show. The other place, there's on your criminal history, there's no notification of an outstanding warrant in North Carolina from 2011. Doesn't really say. Well, I guess it's a probation violation as a warrant. Has that been taken care of? Are you going to have to face that whenever you get to go back to North Carolina?
No, it has been taken care of.
Okay. Yeah, it's listed there and it says confirmed, but when you go to the regular part of Ames, it doesn't, it's not showing as an outstanding detainer.
I have letters from where I've written back to North Carolina, and they said that there's nothing, that they don't have anything for me, which I had taken care of it prior to getting arrested. Excuse me, sir.
Right, well, it's, I mean, it looks like you have DUIs and things like that.
I've had one DUI, sir.
Benson PD back there arrested you for driving on impaired, but you also have more than one instance of being arrested for, let me see, this one, driving while license was revoked and failure to report an accident.
Yes, sir.
And possession of certain four drugs, I assume?
I don't know what that is.
Well, that's a North Carolina thing. Every state classifies things a little bit different. We get these printouts, and sometimes they're a little bit hard to decipher. I know I spent years doing it for fingerprint classifications. So this started back in 2011. So we've been, in fact, that's 2009, was the arrest in North Carolina for a revoked license. So before you were incarcerated, you'd spent about 6 or 7 years with lots and lots and lots of contacts with the law, correct, ma'am?
Yes, sir. It was.
I understand that not all of them were convicted, that some were dismissed, but there was at least probable cause, or you would have been arrested at the time. So you were involved in this in some way or other all those times. But it seems that over the course of your criminal history, you've not really learned any lessons. And now that you've been incarcerated in prison for 2 years, I guess the question is why would you think, or actually, you know, what would you say, briefly say, to the board, and to me, myself, as a voting member specifically, what would you say to us that could really convince us that we should recommend you to the governor for some sort of commutation on your hearing? What is it that is so different in you now than it was 2 years ago when at the end of this, I don't call it a spree, that sounds like 9 o'clock stuff, and this isn't bad. But, you know, and I understand you didn't have time and bad luck, but lots of people do without having this kind of a criminal record.
From 2011, late 2010, early 2011, my grandmother passed away, and she was my world. And so that's when my whole life started to go downhill. But I've lost my children right now. Like, they are so upset with me and so angry at me that they don't write me. I have no contact from them. I don't get pictures. I don't know how they are. And that was the only thing I was ever good at, was being a mom. I know I've done my share of bad things, but I always had them. I kept them out of harm's way. I mean, I didn't go do anything stupid with them. But I still had them. I could go home at night and kiss their heads and take them to school and pick them up. I made their lunch. I made sure their clothes were clean. I took them to the pool. We went to the lake, we went to the beach, like, I still had them. And not having them, this has been the worst 4 years of my life. Like, there have been many times where before I got arrested and got to prison that I didn't want to live anymore because I couldn't see a way out. I couldn't see a way back to the good time. And now that I've been in prison, I see there is a way. I I know I can't stay in North Carolina, Arizona. I know I need to go back home where I have my family support, where I have my lifelong friends. With this new outlook, I miss being a mother. I have missed a lot of time. My son is fixing to be 16. My daughter, she'll be 12 in February. And I missed him like crazy. They are everything I think about from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed every day. And I write them all the time. I send them cards. I send them letters. I do whatever I can to make sure they know that I love them, but they don't write me back. And it's broken my heart, but I know that I did that. And when I get out, I want to fix that. I know I can't just go back and be their mother again, because they have a family right now. They have good people taking care of them. But I want to try and be a part of that again. I want to be able to work on it. I'm not trying to go in and take over, but I definitely need them way more than they need me.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I want to answer the question, Mr. Newman.
Okay, Ms. Laws.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to the RV. Tell me about this RV. Did you purchase that RV? Were you living in it? Or tell me a little something about that.
No, it was given to me. Because it was just sitting in this person I knew. I'm not going to say a friend because they're not a friend. At the time, I considered him a friend. Anyway, he had given it to me because it was just sitting there. It was rotting, and I needed somewhere safe to go because the guy that I was dating was very abusive, and he would, like, stalk the town looking for me, and I was scared because I didn't have anywhere to go. So he gave me the RV, and I parked it in front of his garage, which is where I got arrested. It had, like I said, I was working on the pipes for water, but it had power. I had a bed, I had a refrigerator, I had a stove.
So, I'm assuming that this RV worked, it ran, or it parked it, or something.
It did not. It did not run.
So how did you get it to where it was at?
They towed it. Somebody pulled it with a chain. It didn't have keys, and the engine was locked up.
Okay, Ms. Wallace, I didn't stop to ask.
That's what I have one other question, Ms. Wallace. I'm conscious of the fact that that there's a program there at Perryville that the governor placed there about a year or so ago to prepare those who are incarcerated there at Perryville to prepare them when they get out for employment and so they would be ready. Did you investigate the possibility of your being admitted to such a program? It's a relatively new program, about a year old, maybe a little more than a year old. I know they put one there, and then they have a couple, I think, one down in Tucson and one maybe at Lewis for males. But the one for females is there at Perryville. Have you?
I'm told that all programs you're triggered for in the computer, you can't apply for them.
Okay. But you can be aggressive, you know, because you sound like, you know, you can be aggressive and you could, you know, somehow, you know, I'm just...
They won't consider me for anything with the time I have. Like, the only thing that's keeping me on a medium unit right now is my years. I have 5 points. My risk level is low. If I didn't have 10 years, I'd be on a minimum yard where there are a lot more opportunities. And there's a retention job to where I could work to be able to save up money so I have it when I got out. So
now, I guess, you're educating me now. Therefore, right at the moment, you can't do any programming whatsoever. You can't have any Because of your...
Because of my years.
Because of your years, okay.
Yes, sir.
And what's your classification now? I saw it somewhere.
I'm a medium.
Medium.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Ms. Law, I gotta introduce you to the board members. I'm gonna introduce you real quick before we go into discussion. You have four board members that are conducting your hearing this morning. You have the Honorable David Neal. You have our board chair, who's the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. You have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm acting as your panel lead. I do want to check, were any of you going to be speaking, or are you just here for it? Okay.
I didn't hear that last part.
There are some people in the audience that are just here at observance. I just wanted to make sure they didn't want to speak, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, so the board's getting ready to go into discussion. We're coming up on a conclusion on your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
Just that this has been the biggest eye-opener I've ever had in my life. I've lost everything. When I get out of here, I have to start completely brand new over. I have no clothes. I have nowhere to live. I do have somewhere to live. I have a halfway house that I've been accepted to in Tucson, which is a brand new town for me. But I have to start over and build up my life again. And that is something I am greatly looking forward to doing. Because like I said, I want to go and be a mother to my children again. That is my biggest goal. That is all I want to do. I just want to be a mother again. I want them to be able to forgive me.
Okay. Ms. Law, the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line so that you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. However, I'm going to ask you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, okay?
Okay.
The board's now going into discussion at this time. This is probably one that I'm not quite sure where I'm at on it exactly. I do, you know, I want to acknowledge the special order by the judge and what the judge said, which basically I think if she wouldn't have been on probation, that the judge would have given her a lesser sentence, and he did make reference to the cost, but you know, it costs to incarcerate someone who's committed a crime. I do think that 10 years is a little bit excessive for a shoplifter, even with a criminal history. I don't know if she was trying to shoplift on purpose or not, but her story is a little bit conflicting because she was at the checkout counter and she tried to check out the items and said that her card didn't work, so she went over to the customer service and the customer service then checked her out. She stayed in the store for about 15 minutes and she had purchased a bag of ice, but she didn't get the ice because she was waiting on her ride to come. And when her ride called her and said she was outside, she then went and got the bag of ice, and the security in the store thought that she was actually still in the bag of ice. And she, they checked her receipt, and she had paid for the ice, but in checking the rest of the items, subsequently, the duct tape hadn't been paid for. And this, my concern is if she went over and gave all the items to the customer service rep, and customer service rep tried to ring them up, and you know, there's a possibility that perhaps that could have been an overlook on the actual duct tape itself. I know that she does have an extensive criminal history for the drug paraphernalia as well as the possession of marijuana, and when she also states that she pled to those after she was sentenced to the 10 years, and that's why you have those, I guess, concurrent or sentence for the possession that has already expired. I am leaning more toward, you know, because we have a special order coming from the judge who isn't there at the trial, and which, you know, we're not there at the trial. We only get the information that we have. I wasn't there when the trial actually took place, but obviously this judge saw something involved in this that he felt that the 10-year sentence was excessive. And however, by law, he could only sentence her. The minimum that he could sentence her to would be the 10-year sentence that she actually got sentenced to, because of the fact that she was on probation at the time, which, like, you know, all her charges had to do mainly with drugs or shoplifting. And according to her, she did have her kids out here, and she was, at one point, she described an incident as trying to steal some hamburger, roll the hamburger meat to actually feed her kids. I'm not objective to trying to give her an opportunity. If she is granted the 6 years, she would have done a 4 years, then she would roll over into a 6 month sentence that she has for drug paraphernalia. Then she has a 3 year sentence tacked onto that for probation that she's going to have to do. I do think that the 10-year sentence, based on just the information that we have here, would be a little bit excessive. And there, I'm relying on some of the information that the judge has put in here, stating that the, you know, he felt that the sentence was excessive. And I think if she's done 4 years for the shoplifting, that would be enough. I didn't, and I could have missed it, but I didn't see, other than the DUIs that she had in there, and the accident that she had in there, I didn't see any violence in her criminal history, in which I'm trying to just skim through here again that I may have missed. Say I am very concerned about Ms. Law's criminal past and the fact that these incidents continue to occur, from the shoplifting to the drug use. And that's just my opinion at this time, but I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse, yes, but no, you need your mic back, right?
I think, thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm in agreement with you. I think 10 years is excessive, but the question that's going around in my mind is how much is right, because there is a significant criminal history, and it's for this very crime. I mean, if it was for some other crime, I might think differently, but, and there are multiple dates of the same thing occurring over and over, and I understand the situation, that she was in, but I can see a reduction. We just need to, we can recommend a different number. We don't have to just go with the number she gives us as a board. We can pick a different number, but I think 10 is too much, but in my mind the question is how much is right. So further discussion on that, I guess.
Mr. Neal.
Thank you. Well, in my opinion, the circumstances that we're talking about here, if this was even a second or third time for shoplifting, I might be a little more inclined to think that it met the high standard of the case that we would want to send to the governor's office, but there's 21 arrests for shoplifting. Ms. Lyles apparently has never learned her lesson with dismissals and probations and 3 months in county jail and, you know, all those different things. Because she continued to do it, there are a lot of programs out there too for people who want to get up out of a homeless situation, shelters, all kinds of things, and don't have to resort to this type of shoplifting all the time. But there's two, they just call them red, but there's two proven prior felony convictions and, you know, probation at the time of the offense. With the sentencing structure the way it is, I can see where a judge, and oftentimes the judges would rather have a little bit lenient, be able to go with a little bit different numbers. And I can understand that, but with the history of drugs and shoplifting and that that is in a short period of time, really, I don't think it meets the standard we would need to be able to forward to the governor for a commutation. But that's my opinion, as one voting member.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Adams.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson. I think that this is a very interesting case. This before the board, this is a young lady, young person, who is, I believe, 33 years of age, and as Mr. Neal pointed out, although it may not be as clear as one would want it to be, but 21 run-ins with the justice system. I'm very much concerned because she really learned a lesson. I know that I understand what the judge is saying when he points out the fact how much this is costing the state of Arizona, and I understand that, and I'm sympathetic towards that, but I just, someone who commit the same type of offenses, I won't say the same offenses, but the same type of offenses over and over again, the use of drugs, and I know that she wants to work, wants to go back to North Carolina to be with her kids. I respect that, but as one board member at this particular time, I am just not comfortable in making a recommendation to the governor. Thank you.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, sir. Just one more thing, and it about the money situation. I thought about this and then forgot. Bill made reference to the estimated cost of housing was lodged for that sentence. If you go back the other direction, there are tremendous resources of the cities, counties, the agencies that are involved, the prosecutors, that I'm sure that most of the time she's had a public defender. All those expenses, I'm sure in the last 2 years before she was incarcerated, that there was a vastly larger amount of dollars spent on her crimes, and even if they were dismissed, the money is spent to make the arrest and the prosecution and the trial and everything else. So I don't think that under the circumstances the state would be losing any resources. I think we might be gaining resources, but I don't think that really is a good marker of how we make our decision. The cost to the state shouldn't be considered, because we're talking about justice and we're getting that.
I don't think that Ms. Voss has really learned her lesson at this point, and she obviously hasn't at the time she got arrested for this.
Okay. This is, I do think that the 10 years is excessive, but that's a lot of time, but I do understand how she came up with the 10 years that she was on probation at the time that she went to court. She had these two other cases that were pending at the time while she was in trial. Had they probably charged her with those crimes prior to the trial, she probably would have gotten more time than what she actually have in the 10 years. I do understand that we really look at a high level to recommend something over the reported to the actual governor's office itself. I do take note about the criminal past that she does have an extensive criminal past, and she had those two counts of possession of drug paraphernalia, both class 6 felonies. Something that just really is bothering me is that I never really heard her take responsibility for her actions. The drug paraphernalia was somebody else's. The marijuana belonged to somebody else who she said that they lied on her and said that it belonged to her. The incidents when she was stopped, I do notice that Mr. Neal did ask her about that, and she said she didn't have funds to get it, but it was given to her. She just happened to always be the person that's in, that was carrying it. But she didn't just really, to me, take some responsibility for her actions. I do understand about the kids, but because she did, she was on probation at the time this incident occurred. Because she had two felony charges that were actually pending at the time that she was going to court, and because of her past criminal record, which put her in the position that because of probation, the judge was by law had to sentence her to the presumptive sentence of 10 years. And I do understand the judge's decision, which he kind of based on the cost, basically, is what he's based his information on, not any of the actual actions or past of the Ms. Laws. It was actually solely based on the amount of money that it actually cost. So at the conclusion, I do sympathize with Ms. Laws. However, I don't feel that based on all the information and the discussion that we've had the opportunity to have here today that it rises to the level to substantiate Garden recommending this to the governor's office. That's my opinion. However, I'm still willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. If I hear no other comments, then I am going to make a motion to not recommend Ms. Kimberly Laws, ADC number 316706, recommend a FARGA, this case, to the governor's office. That would be my motion.
Second.
I agree.
Motion by myself. Second by Mr. Neal. Agree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Dr. Wright. The motion is not to recommend to the governor a pass for to the governor's office for consideration. Ms. Laws?
Yes, sir.
Ma'am, you've had the opportunity to hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. Very difficult decision for us to make at this time. However, the board has voted to not recommend a case to the governor's office for commentation. We want to take the opportunity to thank you for taking the time to appear and come before this board. However, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you. Could you put the CO3 back on the phone, please?
Yes.